All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. The first nine verses, he speaks a parable. This first parable that he speaks to his disciples, the parable of the sower and the soils. Each ground, you have four different types of hearers here. And he said here in verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And as I mentioned, this and the following parables are kingdom parables, which the Lord used. And remember, a parable, the word parable means to stand alongside of. It's a earthly story, a story using earthly elements to illustrate spiritual truth. And these kingdom parables are used by the Lord to define and describe the nature of his kingdom, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of grace, made up of the King of Kings, who is Christ, and his subjects, the church, sinners saved by grace. And these kingdom parables describe the nature of his kingdom during the new covenant age, which we're living in today, which, as you all know, goes from the first coming of Christ to his second coming. So the things that will transpire will be described in these kingdom parables, leading all the way up to his second coming and the final judgment. And this parable here deals with the preaching of the gospel throughout the world. How the gospel, Christ said in Matthew 24, he said before he comes again, the gospel must be preached in all the world. And the Great Commission, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And you tell them, he that believeth shall be saved. And that's the specific word of the gospel. And this first parable shows the gospel going out, and it shows the different types of people and how they will receive the gospel. And in this parable, three of the types of hearers, they won't receive it at all, savingly. But there's only one called the good ground here. It begins with a sower. You know what a sower? It's a farmer planting seed, who symbolizes preachers of the gospel going forth to plant seed, which is the gospel. The seed is the gospel, the message itself. So look at verse 4. It says, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. They ate the seed. Verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, no depth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he ends that parable with, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that, that's a statement the Lord used in a lot of passages. In the Revelation, who hath ears to hear? Those ears to hear refers to a person who's been born again by the Spirit, who has spiritual ears to hear and heed and believe and follow the truth. And all he's simply saying, if you've got an ear to hear this, then hear it and rest upon it. Now, last week I dealt with these verses here where it talks about why he spoke in parables. So we're going to jump down to verse 18. This is where he began to explain. And I want to make sure we understand that whenever he spoke a parable, he did give the meaning of it. Now, a lot of people will go through these parables and they'll say, he didn't show the meaning of this one or that one. Yes, he did. And I'll show you that mainly next week, Lord willing. But here he says in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And listen to what he says. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now that's key to this parable. What's he talking about? The word of the kingdom. That's not just any truth, but that's a specific truth of the gospel that shows sinners how God saves them. By his grace, his free and sovereign grace, through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God manifest in the flesh. This is the message of the kingdom that defines and identifies and distinguishes who Christ is exactly. If you don't know who Christ is, according to the Word of God, you don't know the kingdom of God. You don't know the word of the kingdom. You don't know the gospel. And who is Jesus Christ? Well, he's God manifest in the flesh. That's our he's our message. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good prophet. He was a good man and a good prophet, but not just a good man, not just a good prophet. He was not even just a miracle worker. He's God, come down from heaven, uniting himself with sinless humanity, created for him in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name, you know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of God, or name of the Lord, shall be saved. Well, his name means something. His name is a specific message. It's not just a label. It's not just saying, praise the Lord, or Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It means that everyone that he came to save is going to be saved. That's what his name means. He shall save his people from their sins. And to show that he's able to do that, because only God can do that, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But now this message of the kingdom that he speaks of, this word of the kingdom, is also the finished work of Christ. A kingdom has a king, and the king has the right to rule and reign over his subjects. And this kingdom has to be established in power and upon a proper ground. And it took the power of God in sending his Son into the world to walk this earth, to keep the law perfectly and obey unto death, to establish this kingdom of grace. Every bit of the success and establishment of this kingdom was conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not conditioned on you or me. Because if it were conditioned on you and me, it would fail. That's what we need people to understand, that a gospel that teaches a salvation conditioned on sinners is a false gospel. It's a failure. And this kingdom is the kingdom of righteousness. Whoever this king is, and however he establishes this kingdom, it has to be based upon the rule and the fulfillment of righteousness. And you and I cannot do that because we're sinners. The Bible says it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. That's why when we come down here to this good ground here, who is that? When the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But only the King of Kings, only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness, by his obedience unto death as our surety. What does that mean? That means he took our debt. Our sin debt was charged to his account. Laid upon him, he bore our iniquities, Isaiah 53 says. All these things, we need to understand them because they're simple truths, but they're truths that the natural man will not receive except the Spirit of God give him life. So all of this, he established righteousness as our surety, as our substitute. He came to this earth. He was made of a woman, made under the law, in our place. He took my place, and he paid the debt by redemption. He didn't make my salvation a possibility if I would cooperate. That's the false gospel that is popular today. They say that Christ only made your salvation possible if you would do your part. And whatever part that is depends upon what denomination you're in. But that's not the case. That's not the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom is, it is finished. The word of the kingdom is, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The word of the kingdom is sins forgiven by the blood of Christ, righteousness established so that we're justified based upon his righteousness charged to our account, imputed to us. That's the word of the kingdom. Yes, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But that resurrection is because of our justification, because he finished the work, put away our sins, and established the only righteousness whereby God can be both a just God and a Savior. And until sinners hear these things by the power of the Spirit, my friend, they're not hearing the word of the kingdom. So understand this. This seed sown throughout the world is not just religious people going out and saying God loves you and Christ died for you. That's not the word of the kingdom. Now, God does love his people, and Christ did die for his people. But the word of the kingdom is not just going out and looking at a crowd and saying, now, God loves you and Christ died for you. Now, the rest is up to you. That's not the word of the kingdom. That's not the seed sown. So understand that now. This seed is specific. It's the word of the kingdom. So go back to verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and they got to hear it. They've got to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, they don't understand it. It's not that they don't understand the words themselves, but what it's saying is they don't understand it savingly. They don't really believe it. I remember when I first began to hear the true gospel, I understood what the man was saying, but I didn't like it. That's what I'm saying. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And when he says understand, to understand the word of the kingdom is to believe it by the power of the Spirit, God-given faith. And if you understand it in God-given faith, you will also experience God-given repentance. There was a man who sent me a text talking about repentance. And he said that he believed, he had faith in Christ long before he repented. That's what he told me. And he began to explain what he meant. He said when he believed in Christ, he still smoked, he still drank, and he still did all these things. And it wasn't until later that he quit all that. And I wrote him back, I said, you have repentance mixed up with reformation. You see, repentance is not quitting smoking and drinking and all that stuff. Does that mean you shouldn't do it? Listen, you ought to quit all that stuff, okay? There's no question about that. But repentance is a change of mind and heart that comes with faith in Christ. You can't turn to Christ for all of salvation and still rely on yourself. See what I'm saying? You can't believe in Christ to be your all in salvation and still think, well, it's part me. You can't turn to the true and living God without turning away from the idol that you worship before. And that's what repentance is. So when he says, when anyone heareth the word and understandeth it not, it means they don't really believe it. They don't come to repentance. And it says, then cometh, verse 19, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart, and that means his mind. And this is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now that's the wayside hearer. You've heard of this. The wayside hearer. The wayside hearer is somebody who really, just simply, has no interest in the gospel. this word of the kingdom, this precious word, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God. Do you know it's the most precious thing that we have? But the wayside here just has no way. He hears it and walks away unaffected. He heard it with the physical ear. And that's what it means in his mind. You know, when it says sown in his heart, it didn't take hold of his heart because he doesn't have the new heart. His heart is deceitful and deceptive. That's the natural heart, you see. How do you know? Because he didn't receive it. He didn't understand it savingly. That's the natural man. That's not a born-again person. Because a born-again person has a new heart to receive and believe and love the truth. You understand that? And so this wayside here, he just walks away unaffected, and that's it. You know, he has no interest at all in it. And Satan, who is the wicked one, comes quickly to cause him to forget what he heard. Has no effect upon him. So when we go out and preach the gospel during this new covenant age, you're going to find people that just have no interest in what you have to say. We've talked about that, Robert and Randy and Jim and I, you know, at lunch, talking about, you know, one thing I do pray for people, if I get an opportunity to talk to them, is that God will just give them an interest in this. Are you interested in salvation? Are you interested in eternal life? Are you interested in avoiding the punishment of the wicked? And most people, they're not interested in hearing what we have to say, or they think they've already got it settled in their minds. And that's the wayside here. Well, look at verses 20 and 21. It says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon." The word anon means immediately, means now. "Anon with joy receiveth." This, think about it. He immediately hears it, and he with joy says he believes it. Rejoices. "Oh, this is the best thing I've ever heard." Now, I've seen this happen now. I've been in this thing for a few years, and I've seen this happen. Look at verse 21. "Yet hath he not root in himself." There's no new heart there. There's no depth. And he says, "But he dureth for a while." He's here for a while. "For when tribulation, trouble, or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." That means he's tripped up. He's trapped by his own self-love and self-righteousness. And he leaves it. That's the stony ground hearer. He's glad at first to hear it, and even makes a quick profession of faith. But the word preached to him was not implanted deeply in the heart. He doesn't have the new heart again. Brother Mahan used to call guys like this shooting stars. They flame up, they shine bright, and then they burn out. And why do they burn out? Because of persecution over the word. You know, Christ spoke of counting the cost. When you hear the gospel and you're commanded to believe it, but he also said, count the cost. And he tells us that we cannot bring our old religion, our old experiences, our old dreams and visions, or our old fellowships into the kingdom with us. We've got to repent of them. Leave them behind in as far as our relationship with God and our fellowship in the faith. And that brings persecution over the word. And we see that in many instances. And there is persecution. It will come in some form or another, some severe, some not so severe. But still, the stony ground hearer turns away from it. And then look at verse 22. He says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." This is the thorny ground here. He hears it. He's somewhat interested, but he never commits himself to Christ. He never comes to that what I've got it listed in your Listen, in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these, the cares of the world. He's too busy making money or dealing with other issues of the world to give any time to the gospel. Again, there's no new heart here. That's the soil. There's no new ground. See, in the wayside and the stony ground and the thorny ground here, the soil is the issue here. You've got the wayside where it doesn't take root. You've got the stony ground, the thorny ground. Weeds, thorns choke the word out. And there's no new heart. You know, when God says he gives a sinner a new heart, that sinner's going to receive the gospel and follow him in obedience, in faith. And so the thorny ground here, he's got other things to do. He's got too much business to involve himself in, and he doesn't have time to give to the kingdom of God, to the word of faith, to salvation. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is a really good lesson all the way through that book. You know, the Bible tells us all over, but especially in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing wrong with a man or a woman working a job and trying to do the best they can and trying to make money. Nothing wrong with that. If you don't do it to the neglect of your soul. Remember the guy who had the barns and he filled them up and he said, what's he going to do? He's going to, I'll build new barns and get more stuff. And that night he died and said, thou fool, tonight your soul shall be required. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? In the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the things that it says that there's nothing wrong with a man or a woman enjoying the fruits of their labor here on earth. But make sure you understand that in your life, the main thing is that God is to be glorified. God is to be thanked. If you're in a business or you're in a job and you're successful, who's the ultimate cause of all that? God is. So here in this thorny ground here, this is the person who just got too much. He's too busy. Too much to do. Too much money to make. Too many irons in the fire, but nothing for the kingdom of God. And then look at verse 23. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, who is this good ground hearer? Well, that's what has the Bible told us all along? What is man by nature? The natural heart. That's not good ground. Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And how many times have I quoted, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit? What does God have to do to bring a sinner to receive the gospel? He has to do a miracle of grace by the Spirit from Christ, to give life to the dead, to give us a new heart, new life, all of it new, new creations. And that's and this good ground. Do you suppose that he's teaching here that there are bad people and there are good people and the bad people don't receive the word, but the good people do? No. This good ground hearer is a sinner saved by grace, born again by the Spirit, who's been given a new heart. And he hears the word, but he hears it with the ear of faith, God-given faith. He sees it. He understands it to the point that he knows that it's everything. It's life. That's what it is. That he must have Christ. He must have righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And he bears fruit, brings forth fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, fruit unto God. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. While all believers do not bear equal amounts of fruit, every one of them does bear the same fruit of the Spirit. Some grow faster, some grow slower, but they all grow. But that's the responses. That's the parable of the soils. When we go out and preach the gospel, A lot of people are going to ultimately reject it, but God has a people, and they're going to receive it. And that's the good ground here. They're not good in themselves. They're not naturally good, because none of us are. But they're made good by the Holy Spirit in the sense of given a new heart, the good ground, the good soil that is prepared by God to receive the seeds, receive the word of the kingdom, and believe it and bear fruit. That's a miracle of God's grace. Okay, we'll stop there.